Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from Psalms 119. Psalms 119, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, he who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. In our reading for this week, we read from somewhere around, what was it, Psalms 113 through 119. And I warned you about Psalms 119. Told you that it was a long one. Next week, we'll pick up in 120 and go through 135, and that sounds like a lot. But if my math was anywhere close to being correct, I added up all the verses of those psalms from 120 to 135, and it was 116. Well, here in Psalms 119, we had 176 verses. So we'll read more psalms as far as that goes, but not as many verses for next week. And there are some good songs in next week's reading as well. But it's rather interesting that this week we not only read the longest psalm of the psalm, Psalms 119, we also read the shortest. And I'm going to use that for my lesson this afternoon, Psalms 117. And it's a song that we sing. In fact, we sing the entire song, our psalm, whenever we go to it. But Psalms 119 is unique in that it is thought to be a psalm that was to be read, not sung. And it was probably a psalm that was written after the time of Babylonian captivity. We're not quite sure exactly when it was written, but not a psalm of David, most likely. And written by the priests to teach the people godliness. All throughout the psalm, there are words which apply to God's law mentioned in practically every verse. There's argument of whether or not there are two or just one verse in Psalms 119 that doesn't have some allusion to the law. But such words as the law, the precepts, the statutes, the decrees, the commands, the commandments, the judgments, the ordinances are found in practically every verse. And so we can see that as this priestly teaching tool was used, the emphasis was twofold. First, focus on God's directives. Second, on his promises. And isn't that what holds us to our faith? The directives of God, and then our belief in the fulfillment of the promises made there. It is one gigantic alphabetic acrostic. Of the 176 verses, they're divided into 22 stanzas, which, by the way, correlates directly with the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each stanza begins with a letter of the Greek alphabet, so that the very first stanza that we read, verses 1 through 8, not only represents the Hebrew letter Aleph, but every verse begins with an Aleph or an A. The second stanza, which we also read, represents the Hebrew word Beta, and every word or every verse begins with that. And so as this was dedicated not only to be read, they assume because of this acrostic character of it, it was also meant to be memorized. And they could then concentrate on the eight verses that start with A, the eight verses that start with B. But there are 22, so if you do 22 times 8, you come up with 176. What we want to do, I just want to go through and I'm going to tell you the verses that I circled. And what I do is I just circle the numbers so that when I go back to a Psalms, I have a concept of some of the verses that were favorites of mine. But what I'd like for you to do is not necessarily circle these verses, but see if there's not some verses maybe that you would like to have circled so that you can pick them out. The first one that I have circled is basically our lesson for today. That's verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Verse 62, at midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. Verse 71, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. And then I have several, almost in a row, starting with verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. 99. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Verse 100. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. Verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 113, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. 121, I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Verse 131, I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Verse 148, my eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. And then finally, 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. How can a young man, going back to verse 9, keep his way pure? I know that you were asked like I was whenever I was, especially as a senior in high school, and then multiple times while in college, what are you going to be? What are you studying? What do you desire to go into? And the thought behind that, of course, was to try to get a sense of who I was. Or you ask someone else that question and you're trying to get a sense of their purpose or their focus in life. And it's as varied as there are individuals, the answer that you will get. We've got a niece that will soon graduate from Freed Hardeman, and she has a degree in business administration. I think that's what it is. I know it's business management or something, but a very smart little girl. Not so little anymore if she's graduating from college, right? But I can remember her just yay high. And she favors, if you want to visualize what she looks like, she favors our little Evie, or Evie favors her. You could tell, you put them together, especially their 5-year-old or 4-year-old pictures, you know that they are cousins. But it's like you see images or shadows or glimpses of family all through those that you are related to. And you hope for the best, don't you? What's the standard for which way you head? Well, she's got a father that has a degree in business. And a lot of times you see that. Some that are into medicine, then their children are as attorneys, or even as preachers sometimes. Their children follow in their footsteps. And what does that say? Quite often the influence that's there is not genetic, and it's not necessarily hereditary, but we know the influence that family can have upon the directions that one takes. But if you were to look at this in its broadest sense, choose which direction you're going. What are you going to set your heart upon? You could go any direction you choose, but that's not the question. The question is not which direction will a man take or a young man take. The question is, how does a young man keep his way pure? Oh, that narrows the field just a bit, doesn't it? Through the course of this morning's lesson, I'm going to read some quotes from various commentators. But the thrust of the lesson is going to be this. The only secure heart is one that's guarded by God's word. How do you keep your heart? You have to yield it to the Master. The only secure heart is one that's guarded by God's word. Look again at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Youth represents strength and passion. Quite often, young people are idealistic. And so you ask them, what are they going to do? And they've got this image that just almost reaches for the stars. And you might even kind of grin. You don't show it on your face, but you kind of grin thinking, oh, wow, are they in for a rude awakening? That's not an easy vocation to choose. That's not a simple pathway. They don't realize the sacrifice that's coming their way. And quite often we see these lofty ideals as being somewhat foolish because we know what can happen. Dreams can be dashed, hopes crushed, and quite often disappointment and discouragement flows. And perhaps there are even those, you've heard of five-year seniors when they're in school. What does that usually tell you? Well, they're probably not getting their master's. They probably just changed their major somewhere in the process, and they had to catch up again. This little niece that I'm talking about, she had so many credits before she went to school that she is not only graduating in 3 years, she's going to have her master's when she graduates. I'm not sure how you do that. She got some genetics from some other part of the family, I guess. But my daughter, Teresa, and I were talking about that yesterday. And she said, Dad, she's only been in school for 3 years. She can't be getting her master's. And I said, I think that's what she told me. And she confirmed it yesterday. She got to visit with her there at Freed Hardeman. She says, you're right. She had like 25 credit hours before she ever went to school, got those in high school, and then she is completing and getting her master's now. But a five-year senior is one who can't make up his mind. And perhaps you've even been informed about those who never get their college degree because they decided to do something else. Does that mean that that's a failure? No. It simply means the focus is different. An idealist is one who gets crushed. But to change your directions is not necessarily bad. We call that conversion. Isn't that what God strives to do with those of us who, as the last verse of of 119, verse 176 implied, I have gone astray like a sheep. Please, Lord, come find me. How can a young man keep his way pure? It was a simple answer that the psalmist gave. By guarding it according to your word. What happens to idealism is not that it's done away with in Christianity. No, not at all. It's focused. The standard is clear. Perfection is not necessarily that which will be attained, but it is the goal to pursue. I want to obey your commandments. And time and again through the Psalms, 119 especially, the psalmist alludes to the fact that he wants to be directed. He wants the Lord to guide him. He wants the Father's precepts to lodge within his heart, so much so that he says, I long for, one of the verses that I read that I find so dear, is I long for the night watches. My mother would get up at 4 a.m. I learned this as a teenager. She would get up at 4 a.m. so she could read her Bible. With 13 children, that was her quiet time. Is it amazing that she found that at 4 a.m.? Not so amazing. It was called survival, spiritual survival. But she would tell us that that was her time to commune with God. I long for the night watches so that I may meditate upon your word. Is that when you draw close to God? I think sometimes we have to look for opportunities to be a part. And so the idealist, though his dreams may fade if he's not focused appropriately, he will even find his relationships on the rocks from time to time. If the young man focuses upon that which is of God, then he always has hope. The disappointments that he will experience is not that the truth isn't there, but that he's not living up to what God has revealed. I'm not saying there won't be times of discouragement and disappointment. But to make knowing God, honoring Him, my highest goal in life, I believe enriches that life in every way possible, and I believe every relationship that you become involved in. Aren't marriages better when God is the focus? Aren't parents better? Aren't employers and employees better? Aren't we even better citizens? God is no threat to relationships. He is the answer. Because we are full of God's characteristics of love and consideration, of graciousness and forgiveness. Now, we're not going to sing this song. We are going to sing a song here in just a minute. But turn with me to hymn number 237. And this sounds an awful lot like what's recorded for us in Psalms 119. O thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Verse 3. O to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind, look closely, my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never leave the God I love. Here's my heart. O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow due to change. James says in James chapter 1, verse 17. He is the fount of every blessing. If every young person in the world could understand that it is in God that you find purpose, would that not be a good thing? It is in His Word that your steps can be directed and your way kept pure. It is in Him that you will find the true purpose for which you were created, because He is your Creator. And He has provided that lamp for your feet to guide you on the path so that you might not stumble. Let me read you one of my quotes. This is from the commentator Barnes. There can be no more important inquiry, talking about Thy word have I laid on my heart. There can be no more important inquiry for one just entering on the journey of life. There can be found nowhere a more just and comprehensive answer than contained in this single verse. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. All the precepts of ancient and modern wisdom, all the teachings of pagan morality and religion, and all the results of the experience of mankind could furnish nothing in addition to what is suggested here. The world has no higher wisdom than this by which to guide a young man so that he might lead a holy life. How shall the young secure their hearts? Turn with me to hymn number 782. Hymn number 771. I'd like now to read a couple of more comments. The first one from commentator Matthew Henry. Young men must make the Word of God their rule, must acquaint themselves with it, and resolve to conform themselves to it. They must carefully apply that rule and make use of it. They must take heed to their way, must examine it by the Word of God as a touchstone and standard, must rectify what is amiss in it by that regulator, and steer by that chart and compass. And then this quote from Barnes. The meaning, clearly, is if he governs himself according to the law of God, if he makes that law the rule of his life and conduct, he would be enabled to do it. All other things might fail. This rule would never fail in making and keeping a man pure. The more principles of common honesty, the principles of honor, the considerations of self-interest, the desire of reputation, valuable as they may be, would not constitute a security in regard to his conduct. The law of God would, for that is wholly pure. Hymn number 771. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side.
The psalmist says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Do you know what the assumption is? That by the time he's old, he's figured it out. That's the assumption. But what do we know about life? What we know is that just because you're old doesn't mean you're an adult. It doesn't mean you're mature. It doesn't mean that you figured it out. I mean, we've seen some gray-headed people that are in jail, that are in prisons, and perhaps will stay there till the day that they die. We've seen people of age who still don't have it together. So though the assumption may be that the young man is the one in need of answering the question about how can I keep my way pure, perhaps really we need to simply assume that the psalmist is trying to direct a young man before the mistakes are made. Because what do we know? That the Bible is good for the young and the old. That it will correct either life, though it may be a little more difficult if someone is set in their ways. And that in actuality, it's simply getting off on the right foot. If as a young person, I can come to understand and accept that Father knows best. That in God's word are the answers. Then I don't struggle near as much. Because I can see clearly that what my friends are doing is not approved by Scripture. And I refrain from getting involved in that kind of activity or lifestyle. Why do I do that? Not because I'm so wise, though we did read those passages in the 100s. 100, 103 in that area that said, because of God's precepts, I'm wiser than my teachers. Because of God's precepts, I'm wiser than the aged. Because God has informed me that this is wrong, it's not because I have experienced it and come to know it, but I accept the guidance that God has given. Is that not a good thing? Not only believing that there is a God, but that His word is a lamp to our feet? And so this struggle for purity, I guess I want to emphasize, is a common struggle that we all have. In fact, one commentator, this is F.B. Myers, writes of the Psalms, and what he's done is he's looked at some of the things that the psalmist is requesting as evidences for what he's struggling with. So he writes this: there are several key expressions which recur again and again, such as quicken and teach me thy statutes. It is interesting also to construct the psalmist's biography from his confessions. He had gone astray like a lost sheep, was small and despised, had many adversaries, was like a bottle in the smoke, but he accounted God's will and service more than food or gold, and his one desire was to be taught to do that will. Even in the song that we just finished, verse 2 talked about my heart doing what? I have a heart that is forever wandering. How shall the young secure their heart? By guarding it according to your word. Verse 11 of Psalms 119 says simply, thy word, my version says, I have treasured. Other version says, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Were you an obedient child? Or were you a rebel? We need your mother here so we could ask her. Because I've talked with parents that say, he was incorrigible and I never had to spank her. That's usually the way it goes. The boys are like Jack and the girls, well, anyway. It seems as if we got discipline problems, they're usually males. But that's not always the case, is it? What kind of child have I been before the Father? Would the Lord say of me, he never listens? I can't just tell him once. I have to repeat myself over and over and over again. It's a common struggle, isn't it? We have wandering hearts. And yet, what kind of father do we have? What's been emphasized over and over again, and we'll do it again this afternoon, what word comes out over and over in the Psalms? Depending upon your version, the translation of the Hebrew word hesed. Mine is loving kindness. We're going to see it again in this afternoon's lesson from Psalms 117. The loving kindness of the Lord. You may have a version that translates that in the fashion of the song that we sing. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. What kind of father do we have? Whenever I, as a child, have wandered like a sheep, what can the psalmist count on? Lord, come find me. I need your help. What's that admitting to? There's a struggle there. Now, notice this. It's not a struggle to find the truth. Now, the world would tell you that's your struggle. Those who come upon an idealist, they will say, I hope you find what you're searching for. And by that, they mean, I'm not sure where to send you. But that's not the case for the one who believes in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's not that the truth hasn't been given. The psalmist is not struggling with finding the truth. He's struggling with being in allegiance to the truth, obeying the commandments, walking in the way that God has given. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to God's word. It's so simple, isn't it? But it's so profound. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I have treasured thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I believe it. That's not the problem. It's living it. That's the difficulty. But the loving kindness of the Lord is ever present. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. So there's hope. Even when my dreams are dashed and I face disappointments, not because the dream was false in following God's way and having eternal life, but my way, I failed, I sinned. But The Lord is at the end of the road doing what? Like the prodigal son's father, waiting to embrace. I want to close with a couple of passages from Colossians, and we studied Colossians just recently. But what it emphasizes to us now under the new covenant is where that wisdom of God resides. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, think of Christ as being the lamp or the light. Paul writes these words, and think how this relates to some of the commentators that I've read. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. What has he just laid the groundwork for? Are there siren songs out there that would pull me in directions other than the one I need to be taking? And he's identifying them. He's saying, wait a minute. Be careful of the path that you choose. You can't depend upon the philosophies of men. You can't turn to the wisdom of the world. There is one answer. What is it? Well, he continues. Rather than according to Christ, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Who is my light? Where do I turn? Who is my guide? Because what happens if I fail to listen to what Christ has to offer? He says in chapter 3, verse 1, set your mind then on things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Thy word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. If I am focused upon Christ, then the siren songs don't pull me away. But if they do, and I turn elsewhere, away from the way, the truth, and the life, what do I have? Not the truth. Not the true way, and certainly not life. I yield to the world's voices, and I have lost my salvation. Because Christ is deity. Christ is God. He is the one seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so as Paul reminded the Colossian brethren, he says, turn to that and that alone which is true. Finally, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 19, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts. How can a young man keep his way pure? Flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. With those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. What has Paul just revealed about our Christian walk? It's best when done together. Pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love with others who have the same goals in mind. And in this manner, what will you be able to do to tell Satan to get behind you? Flee from youthful lusts. We've seen them, even men with pedigrees and doctorates, all sorts of sheepskins on their wall, clueless when it came to the end of their life about what was most important and about who they were the servant of. And they go to their graves, never having known God, His Son Jesus, or the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. All the accolades in the world don't matter on the day of judgment. What I want to hear are these simple words, well done, my good and faithful servant. How shall a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to God's word, as we stand and as we sing.